1968, the year I met and fell in love with Stephen Stills, was a leap year. In the Chinese calendar, it was the year of the monkey, a year destined to explode with creativity, social upheaval, and tragedy. The U.S. involvement in Vietnam had escalated into all-out warfare and was tearing the country apart. Martin Luther King Jr., in whom we invested so much hope, had been murdered in Memphis on April 4th. The day after King's assassination, Robert F. Kennedy made one of the last speeches of his life at a political gathering in Indianapolis, originally intended as a rally for his run for president, reminding the weeping audience of black and white mourners that he, too, had lost a brother to a white man with a gun, and urging them, as the Greeks had put it, to tame the savageness of man and make gentle the life of this world. Many young people were marching against the war, and music captured our conflicting feelings of disenchantment and romantic idealism. From the traditional folk songs of the Weavers, "Wasn't That a Time?" and "Rock Island Line," to the powerful laments of singer-songwriters Dylan singing, "The Hard Rain's A-Gonna Fall," Phil Oak singing, "I Ain't Marchin' Anymore," and Joan Baez singing "Silver Dagger" in her haunting soprano. This incredible music was everywhere, playing on Top 40 and FM radio, mixed in with the Beatles' "Lovely Rita" and Eleanor Rigby, the Birds sparkling with Jim McGuinn's 12-string guitar on "Mr. Tambourine Man," and the Mamas and the Papas urging us to leave cold New York and dream of sunny California. "I'd be safe and warm if I was in L.A., they sang, their heartbreaking harmonies draping the airwaves with longing. There was the angst-filled psychedelia of the Doors, with Jim Morrison begging us to light his fire, and Grace Slick singing with Jefferson Airplane, her seductive voice drifting on the silky sound of her band, "One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small." All these songs were hitting the radio waves side by side with the reports of casualties in Indochina. The intermix of news flashes and this wistful and sometimes furious music made the atmosphere of the time seem almost otherworldly. "It's all over now, baby blue," cascaded across the country as Dylan put his lyrics to "Our Tears and Our Rage." It was a time of undeniable destructiveness as the war raged and the young trashed their bodies and their lives with the drugs many of us thought were so cool. I remember singing in the dusk of summer, the audience primed with wine, organic cheese, and fruit for a long night of music. "I put fresh flowers in my hair and through the lace of my Mexican wedding dress. I'd bought a full-length leather vest that had roses painted on it, and leather bottoms were stitched to my Levi's. I wore my hair straight and threw my head back. We were free, all of us, to be, to love, to live, in a world different from the one our parents had inhabited. We were going full steam ahead, and yet we floated like water lilies on a pond, dreaming of a billion suns." It was a time of tremendous hope and of tremendous naivete, a pivotal period in which we would see how far we could push the wall. We knew we were the children of a new sun and a new moon. We were blessed with our music and our determination. We knew we would bring an end to the war. I'd been making records for 7 years by now, finding my own musical place in anger and innocence, singing for love and against war. We had awakened to the horror of war. At the same time, we reveled in this luminous era as folk music became popular and coalesced into a quest for a better world. My first top 10 single, "Both Sides Now," was playing on the radio with the sound of the silvery harpsichord on the ride out and the guitars and sweet rhythm filling in behind the resonant beauty of Joni Mitchell's lyric. The song was climbing up the Billboard charts, and I was being hailed as an overnight success, although by then I'd been making records and doing concerts for nearly 10 years. My creative side was blooming like the purple and pink crocuses poking through the last snows in the parks in New York City, where I had lived for 5 years. And now, for the first time, I had begun to write my own songs.